Mess on a civilian trader looked nothing like either enlisted mess or officer's wardroom aboard ship. More like a small restaurant along some shopping concourse. The compartment was just big enough for 8 4-person tables.
32 per seating? Why then the need for more than one seating per rotation?
There aren't really assigned seats. You could sit with us.
Costa pointed to a table where two other youngsters were just sliding into their chairs and unloading trays onto the table.
If you want to.
Thanks, but it looks like there are plenty of empty spaces. If you don't mind...
No, Sarah. I could use the time to review for the test this afternoon, if it's all right. Do you think you can find your way back?
I hope so. I guess I'll just have to ask someone if I can't.
Anyone will help you. Just remember, C23. That's your number.
Esme headed for the serving line across the room. The food smelled spicy and good. She took a bowl of some stew-like dish and a couple of warm rolls. She put her tray down on one of the empty tables and sat down. The condiment containers in front of her held things she'd never heard of, except for the basic salt and pepper. Some of the labels were in languages she hadn't seen either.
That gulgi is good with congee sauce.
Esme looked up. A curvaceous woman with red-brown hair tipped her head toward the table.
May I?
Of course. I'm Esme Suiza.
Ah, I'm Bitharnia Vinegaro. You must be the passenger.
I'm a passenger, yes. And you? You're not a Tarakian?
Not everyone is a Tarakian.
She, too, had a bowl of the stew. She uncapped the bottle with a picture of galloping bulls on the label and shook a large dollop of a thick, slightly lumpy brown sauce into the bowl.
You don't like congee sauce?
I've never had it. I've never had this gulgi either.
Esme tried a spoonful of the gulgi, and a warm glow filled her mouth.
Peppers. It must have quite a bit of some pepper in it.
Too bland the way they make it here. Congee gives it a bit of life.
The warm glow was turning into a miniature furnace. Esme knew that symptom and reached for her water glass.
I think it's lively enough.
Congee doesn't make it hotter, just more robust, perhaps. You ought to try at least a dab.
She might as well find out. Esme shook out a small blob of the brown sauce and mixed it with a portion of gulgi. The resulting bite almost took the top of her head off. But after a moment, the head-on collision of flavors worked. Either alone was too strong. Together, they set up a sort of olfactory countercurrent.
Could you explain this rotation and seating thing?
Bitharnia took a last bite of the gulgi and wiped her mouth.
Of course. Thing is, we're somewhat overcrewed right now, moving people from one place to another. So the on-shift crew has first seating at each meal period to be sure they can eat quickly and get back to work. Off-shift crew has second seating. They sit the boards while the on-shift crew eats. Sleep-shift crew can come eat if they want to, if they're awake and hungry. But they get third seating. It's particularly important in port, when most of the crew are off-duty anyway.
Makes sense. I've never been on a trader before.
It works for us. I don't know anything about how other traders do it.
How long are you usually away from your homeworld, or do you live mostly in space?
It varies. I haven't seen my homeworld for 3 or 4 standard years, but some people go home every year. And we don't usually have small children out in space. Our ships are too small to allow sufficient romping space. I sometimes wonder about the junior apprentices in that regard. They can get a bit boisterous. Now it's your turn. Tell me about yourself.
I was a regular space service officer, left my homeworld for the prep school, then the academy, and then went into fleet. I've only been home twice since then.
Are you going home now that you've left Fleet?
I don't know. Right now I'm headed for Castle Rock.
Ah, so are we. By a roundabout route, but we'll get there.
Bitharnia glanced away and her expression changed.
If you'll excuse me, Sarah, I should get back.
Esme followed her gaze and saw a handsome blonde woman and an even more handsome man at the mess hall entrance. It was amazing how many good-looking people were in this crew. She hadn't expected them all to look like actors. Lady Cecilia de Marctos woke early and headed for the stables, even though it wasn't hunting season. The best cure for an unquiet mind, at least her unquiet mind, was a few hours spent with animals that could not lie. She felt better with every stride away from the house where Miranda had, perhaps by accident, killed Pater Origamos. Neil, who had been running the horse operation for at least 30 years, grinned when he saw her coming through the arched gateway.
I heard you were here, Lady Cecilia. How's her ladyship?
It was a tragedy.
She'll be leaving soon, going back to deal with the inheritance.
Cecilia wasn't sure how much to say or not say. Cerealis had its own customs, its own networks.
No, I don't think so. Hollis has other problems.
Oh, that's good, then. You just tell her I said we did fix that bit she was working on.
Bit?
Yes. She was down here a few nights ago, working on a broken bit back in the old forge.
A chill ran down Cecilia's back. She could not imagine Miranda trying to mend a bit herself.
I've never seen the old forge. Where is it?
Back along there. It's just a workroom now. I reckon she came down just to get some peace, like, with that fellow in the house.
The old forge, when she looked into it, had the tidy look of any well-maintained metal shop. Neat rows of tools, a couple of small brazing cones, a shelf of labeled bottles. She leaned forward to look at them. Chemical labels. Most were unfamiliar. She looked along the workbench. Someone was working on a pair of spurs, set up in a vise, and there was a can with tongueless buckles of various sizes, and beside it a can of straight tongue blanks. Heavier round stock shaped into hoof picks, and a tub of bone and antler roughs for handles. A bowl of scrap bits of this and that. Cecilia stirred it with her finger, not at all sure what she'd expected to find. A rough edge caught at her finger. She looked at it. A small curved scrap of pierced metal that looked somehow older than the rest.
Huh.
Cecilia wondered what it had been. It didn't look like any metal from horse tack. Something tickled her memory, but withdrew. It was like a fragment of shell from a very large egg, with little holes. She put it in her pocket and wandered back to the main square, where two of the hunters were being exercised on the long line. Neil watched, eyes narrowed at the chestnut. Cecilia watched, too, and saw the same slightly uneven stretch of the off four. Neil signaled the groom, and when the horse stopped, he bent over that front leg. Cecilia watched the bay, as always soothed by the sight of a good horse moving well. Miranda, in spotless breeches and a pale blue shirt, came through the archway. In the cool morning, she had color in her cheeks again, and looked very much the poised, elegant lady of the manor.
There you are. I should have known you'd come down here before breakfast.
Habit. But of course it's not the season, and no one expected me to ride this early.
So, are you just pottering around petting horses, or would you like something to eat?
I was... Neil said you'd been in the old forge a few days ago.
Although Miranda's eyes were on the chestnut, Cecilia saw the sudden tension in Miranda's neck.
Oh, yes?
I'd never seen it before. It's a nice little workshop.
Yes, it is. We use it for mending tack now.
That's what Neil said. I've never done that myself. Well, except for leather. He said you'd been working on a bit, and they finished it. All I saw was this.
Cecilia held out the pierced piece of metal.
My. I wonder what that is. Quite old, it looks like.
Cecilia put it back in her pocket.
Not like tack. Some kind of strainer, maybe. How are you feeling this morning?
Shaky. I can't. It's too much, too fast. I can't believe it all really happened.